I've been studying all week, different translations, reading. I love to read the old guys from the 1700s, 1800s. They had, I think back then, back at the turn of the Reformation and the Puritan era and everything, there was such a depth of knowledge and understanding of Scripture. But I didn't find what really I was looking for, because nobody really dealt with Romans 6 the way I thought it should be dealt with. So I found myself going up about 100 years and reading guys like Charles Wesley and the Brethren and the Holiness Movement. And I'm contemplating, you know, their understanding of Scripture and what 100 years before or 200 years before was their understanding of Scripture. And what they were doing back then was bringing people back to in Christ alone, by the word of God alone, by faith alone. That was the Reformation stance, right? It was revelation, breaking away from the Catholic Church and the doctrines there that we are not saved by our works, we're saved by grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so far in the book of Romans, we have been looking at, through Romans 1 through 3, that we are all sinners and we are all guilty of sin. And when we got to chapter 5, we realized that it doesn't matter if we sinned or not. We're guilty of sin because we're in Adam, right? So it's our lineage, it's our DNA. Sin is our DNA. And there's only one thing that can take that away, and that's the blood of Christ. However, there's more to the cross, which maybe some of you don't know, and some of you maybe have never heard, ever. And I'll tell you why, because it's not preached very much. Because what you find when you really get into the text and just allow the text to speak is that what it might be suggesting is we should not be sinning anymore once we come to Christ. Silence. Don't stone me yet. It's true. Otherwise, I wouldn't say this. Okay. So today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at two sides of the cross. The first one I think you know very well, and I'll do a recap, a very in-depth recap, talking about the blood. And the second one, the second part of this sermon, will be about death. Okay? Which is, if you read my devotional, the key to holiness. Okay? I, for some reason, on me this year, and I always try to say at the beginning of the year, Lord, what is it you want to do and say in us as a church? Not just us personally, but corporately, as the body of Christ on planet Earth. So many of you, this is all introduction, by the way, it's all free. Many of you possibly may be believing that Jesus could be coming back soon. But he ain't coming back for a dirty bride. He's coming back for a pure, spotless bride. And the Bible says that she needs to make herself holy for his appearing. Okay, that's a big term we don't use very often. Holy and sanctified. And if you read your Bible, which you should regularly, you will see that it's past tense. We have been sanctified. So I wrestle, well, how can it be past tense when everybody teaches that we're in the process of sanctification? You come to this conclusion that if you don't believe who you are and who Christ made you, you will never achieve what you're supposed to be. Okay? And this text has been coming to me over and over again. It's only really in the New King James or the King James. But as a man or woman thinks in his heart, in her heart, so is she. You will only become what you believe about yourself. Now, that is not a new age, you know. That's the truth of Scripture. If you don't understand what Christ did on the cross, you will never receive the fullness of what Christ did on the cross. And so the first thing we need to know this morning is what Christ has accomplished on the cross. And it's beyond shedding his blood. Okay? And that's where I'm going to go today. Two parts. I'm going to start with the blood. I'm going to end with death. Okay? I'm going to teach it from the Scriptures. Let's pray, because we need Holy Spirit. I need Holy Spirit. Father, we submit to you. this is the truth of your word. And Lord, you promise that you will give wisdom and revelation to understand it. And so we ask for that by your Holy Spirit, that he would come and enlighten us to see the truth of Scripture, and that who we are in Christ and all that Christ has done for us and in us and through us. And Lord, that most of all, we are united to him. We are in him. Mm-hmm. And Lord, it's amazing that Paul never called himself a Christian. His term was in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Lord, may we leave realizing that we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And we do not represent all these so-called Christians out there, because we are totally different than what people see on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We are the chosen who have been placed in Christ, and we will live in that reality. Teach us, O God, by your Spirit, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got a lot of scriptures. They're all going to be up here. You can write them down. I'm just going to go through how I read this and discovered this. So, part one, the blood, which really is about forgiveness of sins. I think everybody would agree with that. So I wrote, the blood of the perfect Lamb must be shed for the sins of the world. Every person who has, is, or ever will exist is guilty of sins against God because they're in Adam. That's what we saw last time. Original sin and his nature is what we are made of. We are guilty before God. God requires payment for sins. The wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. Redemption price must be paid to set us free. God, because of his great love and grace, great grace, says, I will pay it through the flesh of my one and only Son. Right? This is, remember I gave the analogy, we're standing before the throne room of heaven, the judge is on the throne. He says we're guilty, we've got all this sin racked up against us. And God gets off the throne, says, death is your sentence, gets off the throne and goes and pays the penalty for us by dying for us, okay? Very powerful image, but that's exactly what's going on in Scripture. I can send this to you, I will actually post it on the website, like I always do, so... He pays it through the flesh of his Son. Jesus, the Son of God, becomes a perfect high priest who offers the perfect sacrifice, which is the perfect lamb, sheds his own blood to pay for our sins. Okay? Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. God's demand is that blood must be shed. So what did the blood of Christ do? Just reading through Romans, okay? We all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Redemption is the freeing, the opening up, the letting the prison door open, and we're free from our sins, okay? It's a redemption price. Jesus paid it. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement, or as the one who would turn aside God's wrath. God's wrath must be satisfied. That's called propitiation. And Jesus paid that penalty. When that penalty is paid, sin is taken away through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? What happens at that moment? You're justified. Romans 5:9. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There it is. Okay? His blood saves us from the wrath of God. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, it's the death and the life that brings us salvation and freedom. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation, you're justified, you're declared not guilty. Because of that declaration, you can now have relationship with God. You're reconciled back to God. That is peace. You're no longer enemies with God, okay? That's what we've been looking at. That's, if you followed us all the way through, that's what we've seen. Peace with God. If that wasn't enough, he did more. So here's some scriptures just to, you know, support what I've just said. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. All this is grace, which is God's gift. Okay, this should be, friends, this should be theology 101 for your Christian understanding. Okay, if you're a Christian, this should be foundational teaching. Just as Christine shared, so that you can share this. We are called to witness to the hope we have in Christ. Okay, and this is what you share with people. Exactly what she shared. It's not by my works. I can't do anything. It's by the grace of Christ. And the grace of God and the blood shed for us. It's all him. I just have to say, I believe. Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood. Okay? Apart from God, brought near by the blood. Colossians 1, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Okay, that's the relationship. Whether things on earth and heaven, he having made peace through the blood of his cross. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. Doesn't matter what you're born into. Okay?
That's right.
Not at all. Only by the blood, as we just sang. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. And the NIV says, atonement is as the one who would turn aside his wrath, taking away our sins. That's what atonement means. It actually comes from the old, I think I've shared this many times, you probably know it, but in the Old Testament system, there was the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, and the mercy seat was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And every year the high priest would go in and take the blood of the lamb, the special, spotless, chosen lamb, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. God would look down from heaven, see the blood on the mercy seat, okay, sprinkled on the atonement cover, and he would say, I forgive the sins of the people. Therefore, they could continue having relationship with him, okay? And lots of people do this. They take the word atonement, and it's at one mint with God, okay? There's so much to say. So, Hebrews, amazing book. You should read it. I'll just read some scriptures, but the whole salvation experience, the whole message of what Jesus has done is in the book of Hebrews. Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He's entered that great perfect sanctuary in heaven, not made by human hands, not part of this created world. Once for all time, he took blood in that most holy place. Not the blood of goats and calves. He took his own blood, and with it he secured our salvation forever. Nothing else is needed. It's once and for all. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ritual defilement. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our hearts from deeds that lead to death so that we can worship the living God. There's what we need to understand. The purification from deeds, the flesh that continues to exist is purified so that we can worship God. You cannot worship God, the Holy of Holies, without being holy. He will not receive your worship. Okay? FYI, many people go to church and they just think they can sing a few songs, but they haven't been purified by the blood. Or they've sinned all week long and they think they can just go into church and sing Kumbaya and everything's going to be fine. There has to be that confession of sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to be cleansed and pure before we go to the holy God, right? By the power of the Holy Eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people so that all who are invited can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised. Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. We're talking about freedom from sin. Hebrews 10, reconciliation and peace. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter because of what Christ has done. Heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is a new life-giving way that Christ has opened. Veil is torn for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him, for our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Why am I reading all this stuff? Okay? I'm tired of people carrying around sin and living defeated lives that they will never be anything but the sinner they think they are. Friends, it's got to stop, because you will only be what you believe you are. The body of Christ needs to be set free from this lie. And if you read even my intro to this week's email and the devotional, we are saints. Saint means holy. We have been declared holy. Now let's live that out. That's where we're going. Something has to happen. So here's what the blood of Christ does. It satisfies God's requirement, propitiation, justifies a sinner, not guilty. Redemption price is paid, which means set free and liberated. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. Okay, lots of people need to hear that these days. They carry around this weight they don't need to carry. Reconciliation and peace with God. We're cleansed and released from all our sins once and for all. Here's an amazing scripture. By that will we have been sanctified, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here's the transition. We've been made holy. Let's talk about how that happens. The blood cleanses, purifies, justifies, but we need to be holy. How does that take place? Let me read you last week's passage in the New Living Translation. Because it's all about Adam. We were in Adam, right? Mm-hmm. We were in Adam. But there's a second man who's not the new Adam. He doesn't want anything to do with the old Adam. As a matter of fact, Jesus has come to kill the old Adam.
Yes.
Okay? So if he kills the old Adam, you can't be in that old Adam. Because he's dead.
Yeah.
You gotta understand that. Let me read last week's scripture. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. I'm glad we have the New Living. Very simple. Like, you can't get confused when you read it. His people sinned even before the law was given, and though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given, they all died anyway, even though they did not disobey an explicit commandment of God. Like Abraham had no law. It doesn't say he was a sinner. He just didn't know he was breaking sin. I mean, he was breaking the law. There was no law. The only person who really broke a law was Adam. Don't eat from the tree. What did he do? He ate from the tree. Yeah. Guilty. The moment you eat, you shall die. So death came into the world through Adam. Okay? We're all in Adam.
Yeah.
We all die. And when I said last week, last time we were together, find me someone who doesn't die. And you prove to me that he's not under sin of Adam. You can't do it. We all die. Okay? We're all guilty. What a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to the many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. The result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. No condemnation in Christ. But we have the free gift of being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us, but all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. We'll live in triumph over sin. You should put that in your fridge. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people would be made right in God's sight. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are. That's the purpose of the law, that we all break it. As people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Part 2. You get that? The death of Christ. Two things happened on the cross. He shed his blood and he died. Deliverance from the power of sin, from powerless to reigning. Friends, this is phenomenal stuff which you don't hear very often. If you do hear it, it's corrupted. Listen how Revelation starts. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you see yourself as a king and a priest? There's only one way that's possible. As I said in my devotional, there's only one way to be made a priest for God in his kingdom. That is to be declared holy. Okay, the Old Testament, Leviticus, is all about how you take a sinful person and make them holy to serve God. Yeah. You consecrate them. They have to be consecrated and anointed with oil. Okay, we'll get into that as we continue through Romans. Romans 5:17, I put it up again in the New King James. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Reign in life. It's not future. Okay? Mm-hmm. And ask yourself this. Am I reigning? Do I have the mindset of a victor, not a victim? Okay? Am I reigning? Mm-hmm. That means I'm in control, not the devil, not sin, as I submit to the Holy Spirit and walk in the truth of what Scripture says.
Good.
Okay? This has nothing to do with me. It's all about Him.
Yeah.
So we are guilty in Adam. Here's the issue. Somehow the Adamic line or influence has to be killed, done away with. Okay? That is sanctification and holiness. Justification is the first step. That's peace with God, reconciliation. So we need to get rid of the old man, the Adamic influence. We are sinners through associating with Adam, which we've said. We're born sinners. We are by nature objects of wrath, Ephesians 2. Because of the fall, we fall short of the glory of God, which we saw already, right, in the book of Romans. Because of our union with Christ, we reveal the glory of God. Okay, what's the difference? It's union with Christ. If you're under Adam, if you're going to choose to live under the sin of Adam and keep declaring yourself a sinner, you will fall short of the glory of God because you're always going to be aware of your sin and therefore you will always sin.
Yeah.
If you start identifying yourself, I am united to Christ. My mission is to reveal Christ to the world. How do I do that? I walk in holiness that I already am. Adam is dead. I'm alive in Christ. Okay, that's where we're going. Got any questions, throw up your hand because I want you to get this. We are saints when we are associated with Jesus. We are born again, a new creation, partakers of the divine nature. That's all Scripture. If we die and are born again, we are new creation. Adam is dead. No more influence over me. Okay? We are saints. We need union with Christ. We're baptized into His death. Okay, that's Romans 6:3. Bondage to sin came by birth. Deliverance comes by death. We need to die, friends. That is the point of this whole sermon. We need to, as Romans 6:11 says, reckon ourselves dead. Consider ourselves dead in Christ, okay? So let's get right into this. Freedom from sin, dead in Christ. Romans 6. This is the thing, right? This is the way the world works. I've heard this 100 times. I shared with you last time. People in church say, well, you know, it's God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. He loves me, blah, blah, blah. I can sin because He'll forgive me. He'll do whatever. I can do whatever I want. He'll still forgive me. That's a lie. This is the philosophy of many, many churches and many people out there who call themselves Christians. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, if I sin more, then God's grace is revealed more. And Paul is like this emphatic, absolutely not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Right.
Do we see ourselves as dead to sin? The blood can take away sin, but can't take us out of Adam. Did you know that? We were born into Him. We need to die for that to happen. Okay? This is what Scripture says. I know this might be revolutionary. You've never heard this stuff before. Because we always focus on the blood and forgiveness. We never focus or rarely focus on, well, now that I'm delivered from sin, how do I walk in victory?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Romans 6:3. Do you not know? And this is key. The key is knowing. Do we know? Do we receive it? Do we believe it? That as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into His death. We were born again, grafted into Christ. Okay, that's what it's saying. Now, here's the thing, friends. Baptism is more than just a sign. And I will prove this in Scripture in a second. But It's not just about going underwater. It's not just about identification with Christ on the superficial level. We spend our time arguing over how deep the water is. Should we go like full submersion? Should we sprinkle? That's satanic. We miss the whole message of baptism if we do that stuff. See, Satan has us fighting over little wee doctrines and things about how we do things rather than what is baptism? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll just show you two scriptures, Mark 16. You can wrestle with them. You know what? The church needs to just let the scripture speak more and just let it say. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You mean salvation is dependent on baptism? I didn't write that. Let's go to the next scripture, Acts 2:38. This one you know well. It's like the first mass preaching sermon, and then revival breaks out. 2:38. When they hear the truth, they say, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins." Has anybody ever seen that? Have you ever heard that preached, that baptism might be just a little more than just going in the water and saying, "Yeah, identify with Jesus"? No. Baptism is death. That's what it symbolizes. And you really, according to these two scriptures, how many do we need? How many scriptures do we need to have a doctrine that says it's faith and baptism, which is me expressing how much I really believe that I'm willing to go in and symbolize that I am dead to myself, to the old Adam, and I no longer exist. That's what baptism is. That's what Paul's getting at. Okay? Friends, it's not a symbol. It's the core belief that, and this is why, like, I think Satan has convinced the church that it's not that important. You never hear this in church. No, you need to be baptized in order to demonstrate that you have the faith that you are no longer alive, that you are dead. If you believe you are still alive, you will continue to live in the old Adam. If the old Adam is killed and you're killed in Christ when he's killed, then guess what? You come alive out of that water and you're no longer the old Adam. You're no longer in the old Adam. Sin no longer has mastery over you, which is the language of chapter 6. Okay? Any questions on that? Yes.
So my cousin is currently converting to a Catholic, and there's a couple of things that the more I dive into scripture, I'm having a really hard time understanding. And I don't want to be head on in a bowl and with everything like that, but like we were talking about infant baptism last night, and I said it's not, like, I don't find it biblical. There was a specific scripture I was talking about, I don't know who said it, basically that circumcision was being switched over to.
Right,
and it was talking about to be born, and what I received from that is that, well, like, you're born again, right? That's the whole point. So even right here, so when it's saying repent and be baptized, so I don't understand, like, I don't, like, an infant, they can't
exactly repent. Exactly,
right. That's the entire Reformation.
That's right.
Which I understand that. I'm just having such a hard time with so much of, like, theology within there of everything. Sure.
But you can't.
Mary, like, it's just like, I know that's so off topic.
No, it's not, because it's not. You know what? It's not just Catholics. Yeah. It's Presbyterians. It's Anglicans. There's a whole bunch of so-called. Well, we don't call them evangelicals. We call them mainstream Christianity, who believe that. Some even Reform teaching is you're saved because you're born into the Reformed Church, right? Yeah. So, that's not scripture. You have to repent. Nobody can repent until the Holy Spirit causes you to realize your sin. That can't happen to an 8-day-old or 10-year-old.
Children, right? Like,
it can't. My wife was saved at 9. I think Christine was saved at 7 or something. Like, they can. The Holy Spirit of God does it.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's not everybody.
But babies don't know what's going on. So, I mean, I don't believe in infant baptism. Neither did anybody from the Reformation or past who read the scriptures. It's not biblical. You can't wash away your sins. If you say that, I mean, this is the way most people think of those denominations. They think, I'm joining the community of faith, And this gives me entrance into the community of faith, just like circumcision was a mark for the Jew that he belonged to the Jewish community.
Right.
And this is a debate that circumcision is the same as baptism. No, it's not. Not according to Scripture. Baptism is, I see myself dead. I reckon myself dead because of the work of Christ. If they do that, if they say that stuff, they don't understand where I'm going next, which is, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Okay, and that's the only way that we're going to understand what baptism is really about. I get baptized to demonstrate that I have been crucified with Christ. That on that cross, okay, there's two images. And people love illustrations, and I don't do illustrations because I think the Scriptures illustrate enough. But here's the thing. Number one, the bloody, beaten body of my Savior sitting on the cross, nailed to the cross, shedding blood, and every drop of blood is cleansing me. Okay? And then the moment he dies, because I'm united to him by faith, I die too. Mm-hmm. And that old Adam line is cut off. Okay? It's done and over with. I don't belong to Adam. He is, I'm going here, he is the new humanity. Jesus Christ starts a whole new humanity.
Yes.
Okay? It's a new kingdom. It's a new reality. The old is gone. The new has come. Okay? And this is where we need to go. We're going to go right now. But unless I see myself hanging on that cross in Christ, or hanging on that cross and I'm the one bleeding in Christ, okay, I will never understand it, that I'm there. He took my place, so I don't have to, but I'm in him. Okay, that's what Paul said. He never called himself a Christian. He always says, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I was crucified with Christ. I live in Christ. I'm dead in Christ, okay?
And it's a choice to die.
Yes.
It's a choice to recognize.
First you have to know the truth.
Yeah.
Then you have to, as 6:11 says, reckon yourself. Reckon yourself is a term, like an accounting term, means add it all up, figure it all out, come to the conclusion that this is true.
Yeah.
And then accept it.
Right.
Believe it.
Okay? That's what I call the truth.
Good question. Thank you. Romans 6. What shall we say? No, we don't continue to sin. We identify Romans 6:3. I'm still in Hebrews. Hang on a sec. I'm glad I can delete this stuff.
Yeah.
Romans 6:3. Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? It starts with knowing. That as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. So, are you baptized into Christ? It's not just a symbol. I'm baptized into Christ. And Paul will say, it's no longer I that live. I don't live anymore. The old Mike is dead. I live in Christ. And you'll read scriptures in Colossians and Ephesians that put off the old, put on the new. If you start reading your Bible with this lens, everything will open up to you is what it means to really follow Christ. Okay? Old is gone. Adam is dead. Here's a scripture, which we all know well. And I put it in an easy translation, 2 Corinthians 5. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Did you hear that? Right? They don't live for themselves anymore. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being, that's what Paul thought when he was a Jew, how differently I think about him now. What this means is this, that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. New life has begun. Okay, this is radically different, friends. Your new creation. As ones united with Christ, next slide, we identify with him. So he says in 1 Corinthians 15, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural and after the spiritual. The first man was of the dust, the second man from heaven. Okay. I got scriptures going through my brain, but just think about that. You're identified with the man in heaven. Where is Jesus? He's seated in heaven. Okay. Where are you? You're seated in heaven. So what does Paul say in Colossians? Set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Start thinking like you're seated in heaven.
Yeah.
Where's heaven? It's in the throne room of God. It's the Holy of Holies. You're there because of Christ. You're in Christ. As the earthly man was, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. That's us. We're of heaven. Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we. Now, I put this up here because the NIV has this little footnote. And I teach this all the time. Says, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. But early manuscripts, which are more trustworthy, you know why? Because later manuscripts are copied from the older, and there's a scribal error. Okay? So, the earliest are the closest, and they say, so let us bear. If this is the reality, that we bear the likeness of the heavenly man, let us bear the likeness of the heavenly man. Let us live in that reality. Okay? Here's the scripture. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. What is darkness? Death and sin. And conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. Hey, friends, this is not me. I'm just taking scripture and kind of organizing so we see the truth of who we are. Sorry it's taking so long, but you need to know this. And I'm going to give you all the scriptures. You can have them. I can photocopy this, but they'll be online as a PDF you can download. We are who we are because of him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of him you are in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. If you remember nothing else, remember that. You're in Christ Jesus. So if I was in Christ at the cross and he died, I died. It became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Man, do you see those words? He became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm righteous. I'm sanctified and I'm redeemed. Okay? That's my basis for holiness. It's not me, it's him. You die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It doesn't get much plainer than that. It's no longer I that live, he died. I'm in him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And here's the transformation. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is believing that I'm in the Son of God. What the Son of God did for me is my reality. Okay? God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's a great line. You read Paul's story, you read all these New Testament guys, the apostles, they are completely different people. Friends, they're totally different. Everything they do is different. You know, Peter, for 1 minute, he gets sucked back into the old Jewish life because his ministry is to the Jews. And when you're surrounded by that doctrine, you just kind of go, all right, already. Like you just kind of get worn down. And it was just a moment, a stupid moment where Paul had to say, Peter, smarten up. That's not the truth. Mm-hmm. Right? You can read about that in Galatians. We are dead to sin. Here it is, Romans 6, verse 11, 12 verses. I'm just going to read it. Finally got there. The whole thing. This is my text for today, which you can go to. We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, new and life, not death and sin. We have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We walk in resurrection life. Okay, his life is in us, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. It doesn't get much plainer than that. Okay? Sin is done. Sin is done. You don't have to sin anymore. Why do you sin? Why do I sin? Because I choose to resurrect the old man. The old. I choose not to live in my new nature of Christ. I choose to go back and live in my old nature as Adam. Listen, if I'm dead, sin no longer has power over me. Sin can only affect a person who is living under the old Adam. If I'm a new creation in Christ, sin has no longer any power over me. He who has died has been freed from sin. Are you seeing the language of this? Like, how do they preach this in church without preaching the truth? If we die with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And I'm in Christ. Likewise. Do the same as him. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the response. I need to reckon myself or consider myself exactly what Scripture says. Okay? Friends, if you do that, if you choose to do that, if you stop believing the lies that you hear on Sunday morning and TV preachers saying, you're a sinner and on your way to hell and you'll always be a sinner, that's not what it says. The old Adam was a sinner. I'm in the new man. We are new people, a new race, okay? Adam is dead, we are new. Therefore, 1 Peter 4, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Peter got it. Paul got it, right? What did he say at the end of, do not let sin reign in your mortal that you should obey its lust. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Don't let sin reign.
Yeah.
We already saw that you're reigning. Okay? Yeah. Romans 5:17. You're reigning because of grace. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. This scripture we know so well, right? We use it in our ministry, in our church a lot. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He might destroy the works of the devil. How does he do that? Whoever has been born of God does not sin. What? Man, I wish they wouldn't put that in Scripture. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Friends, should I get another translation? Let me read that again. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. I'm not of the seed of Adam anymore. I'm of the seed of Christ. Okay? I cannot sin. I can choose to sin, but I can also cannot sin. Okay? Every time I think I'm under the old Adam, I'm going to sin. But if I keep believing and receiving the truth that I'm in Christ, I will continue to live sin-free life.
Can I just say, sometimes we don't even recognize when we're sinning.
Well, I think I was wrestling with that question, which I'm not preaching entire sanctification or sinless living, although I am. Okay? And I'll get with that in the next sermon. What I want us to focus on is the truth of Scripture. Okay? What does it say? And that's why there's so much Scripture here today. It's not about me fabricating this so it says, oh, wow, that was a good sermon. I don't want to hear that. I just want you to say, wow, there's a lot of Scripture that says I'm dead. Sin no longer has mastery over me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the outcome of this. Okay? Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Reckon yourselves dead. I'm dead. Okay? That's the other side of the cross. When he died, I die. Now, when I was looking at this, it's like he destroyed the work of the devil. The only way I allow the work of the devil to be destroyed in my life is if I continue to believe that I'm in Christ and am born of God. I'm a new creation. The moment I allow sin or the enemy to lie and say, ah, Mike, there you are, the old Adam, the old Mike's back. You know, if I give him a reason to accuse me, and I start believing the accusation that Satan spews out of his lips, instead of there's no condemnation for those in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm in Christ. I died. Sin has died in me. I'm alive in Christ. If I listen to the voice of the enemy, then I'm tempted to sin. Okay? He'll put that doubt in me. And this is what's going to happen, friend. That Mike guy. No, there's no way. There's no way Scripture says that. He made it up. He organized it to say that. Jesus didn't take away sin. Like, he didn't stop sin. He took away our sin, but sin is still in the world. See, he doesn't stop sin. He kills the old Adam in us that allows sin to manifest.
Kills the power of sin.
The power of sin is We give the power to sin as we live under the old Adam.
But Jesus gives us the power to overcome.
Yes, he does. And the power to overcome is in believing the truth of Scripture. Okay? Sin's not gone. Like, trust me, you can go, and if you want to, you can sin till you're blue in the face. Or you can leave and you can say, I'm a new creation. I don't do that anymore. I'm going to live in the power of Christ. I'm dead. The old Mike's dead. I'm not resurrecting him for anything. So here's the conclusion. Maybe from this day forward, you've never heard this stuff. You need to decide in your heart, Jesus came to set me free. Okay? He came to set me free. Not only did he come to set me free, he came to give me the power to overcome so I can live in freedom. Okay, here's what Romans 5, last time we were together, Christ died for us. Romans 6, 8, we died with Christ. That's the message. Okay, part one, the blood of Christ. Christ died for us to take away our sins. Romans 6, I was in Christ when he died, therefore I'm dead too.
Yeah.
Okay, we died with Christ. Jesus is the last Adam. Adam is dead. Jesus is the second man. Doesn't call him a new Adam.
Right.
Calls him the second man. He's the new humanity. He's the beginning of a whole new humanity. We are the sons of God. Okay? We are the new creation, the new kingdom. We are the children of the Most High God, and we reflect that we are his children, not the children of Adam. Okay? It's a new beginning. You're a new creation. Put off the old, put on the new, and start walking in who you are. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man, but all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. Okay? You can go home and read Hebrews 2. But friends, I don't know how other way to say it than what I just said. I could probably say it much better. I can give you books to this end that teach this reality, but here it is. Imagine if the church, the bride of Christ, started to make herself holy by believing the truth. Right? Be ye holy as I am holy. It's a command in 1 Peter. So when I read 1 John, it says, I don't sin anymore. I shouldn't sin anymore. I'm done with sin. How do I get there? I believe the truth of Scripture. I start walking out. Walk the word. Walk it out. Okay? This is the reality, friends. Any questions? You're just going to have to go home and let this truth sink in. You read it. You look up the scriptures, whatever translation you want, although some of them are better than others. That's why you should have many translations. And just let the truth of scripture get into you. If you're a new creation, old is gone, new is come. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just believe that truth. I no longer live. Christ lives in me, and I live in Christ. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Lord, only you, Holy Spirit, can get this into our hearts so that we believe it in order to walk it out. Lord, we know it. We know it now. We've been presented with it. Take us to the next step, Lord, where we reckon ourselves to be dead so that we might live in Christ. Help us to take all this scriptural information and bring it into practice. Just like Paul did, Peter did. Oh Lord, we want to be the people, the church, the bride of Christ that you want us to be, that the world might see the truth of Scripture as we walk it out. We are living epistles, your word says. Lord, we want to be that. We want to be testimonies of the transforming power of the cross of Christ, washed by the blood, fully alive in him because we're dead to the old. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.